Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is the Thursday edition. The in Madison, Wisconsin's war on crime, the worst criminal offenders are judged by Jesse Nelson and a jury of 12 peers. These are their stories edition. Speaking of stories, I did write about Romeo Dobbs. I would like to talk about him at some point today. Edition. And it may be Thursday, it may be we're celebrating the return of Jesse Nelson, but it's a Brian Bulaga Thursday. He wasn't on yesterday, but he joins us today, and you know how much I love it when we have Brian Bulaga on the show edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, and I'm standing too close to the camera. Jesse Nelson is back in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. We'll get to him in a moment. And from his undisclosed location. His location will be disclosed tomorrow, because we will be together, reunited like Peaches and Herb. This time at the AmFam Championship, as we do, I think we've done it every year. I don't think either one of us
every
has
year.
Missed one.
COVID year.
Well, there was no tournament, though, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't miss any that were actually held. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Jesse? Jesse? I yield the floor. I am going to yield my time to juror number 8, and I'm just going to let him go.
There we go. Now we're cooking.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, way to dress up. What did you wear to... you know what? I'll ask all my questions later. The floor is indeed yours.
I'm here. We made it. Hi. Where to even begin here? All right.
Well, that's what happens when we just give you the floor.
Yep.
You have to make that decision.
I didn't expect it to be presented this way. Okay, so I'm back from jury duty. I know it has been much discussed during my time away. I was able to catch up on 1.5x speed listening on the ESPN Wisconsin app, so you guys sound a little bit like chipmunks. But it is nice to be able to listen to 3 hours of content in about an hour and a half of time. So that's
the
nice.
Awkward long pauses are much shorter.
Yeah, it doesn't feel this. Yeah, it zooms pretty quick by. And some,
nice.
Some of our music sounds funny when you do that at 1.5x speed. Okay, so I went in to the Dane County Courthouse on Monday morning.
All right, first off, Jesse.
Yeah.
Did you get a note?
The floor is not yours. It's
no, the floor is yours, but the letter, when did you know that you were going to have to go in?
I received the letter, I think it was like 60 days prior, might have been a little bit less than that. I don't remember exactly.
They text you, or what do they say you need to be in here Monday?
You receive a letter saying you've been summoned for jury duty, here's the week that you're expected to be available, you'll receive further instruction, but please report to the courthouse at this time, or you fill out a questionnaire online. And it gives some of your like what you do for a living, your marital stat, all that stuff. And then it says, check back here the Friday after 4 p.m., the Friday before you're due to see if you need to report. And if you can't check online, okay. You can call a number and they can tell you. So I checked back Friday afternoon, late last week. I didn't think I would be summoned. And sure enough, I was. And I needed to be there at 8:15, so I told you guys Friday afternoon last week. That's, you know, didn't think it would happen, but here we are. So I went in, and I had no idea how any of this stuff worked. my dad had been summoned twice, but never actually had to go in. My mom never has. And I guess I've never had a close enough friend who has served to talk about it with them. So
had Becca?
No,
Becca had never done it?
She had not. So this was new to everyone that is closest to me in my life. And so it was kind of a new experience. I knew generally what would happen, but not everything. So I went
in. All you knew was that you wanted to be chosen.
Oh, yeah. If you have to miss work, if you have to go in and do jury duty, I don't want to just go in there, sit for a couple of hours, and then they say, okay, never mind, go home. Like, I want the full experience. And boy, did
and
I get
you got it.
I sure did. So I went in, check in. The first thing that happened was they didn't actually have my name on the list because I guess I didn't do my questionnaire in time. So that was a fiasco trying to figure that out if I was even supposed to be there. So I was already causing problems before anything.
Mm-hmm. That's on brand.
You get in, you check in, you sit around for an hour and a half doing absolutely nothing. I was literally in the corner of the room with I didn't bring headphones, so I had the YouTube stream up of your show on Monday listening in my ear while nothing is happening. Everybody is just checking in at different times. And then someone walks in eventually. It's one of the bailiffs I learned later on, but I didn't know at the time. And
Barney Fife.
They walk in and they say, okay, here, I'm going to read you a series of names. If I call your name, come stand up here in the order in which I call your name, and then you're going to go up. So my name was called. I was, I think, 18th in the line of 30, 40 people. I don't know exactly how many.
Tier two.
So I'm like, okay. And it's very awkward. You're standing in front of the room, just staring at everybody. Everybody's staring at you because there's nothing else to do. There's no TVs or anything. Like, some people brought, like, knitting stuff. A couple people had books to read. Most people are just scrolling on their phones doing nothing. Then they take us up to the top floor, which is where the courtroom is. And I had no idea. We were just going into the courtroom right away. Like, I thought this was a whole thing where there's an interview room and you're kind of one-on-one. Like, I've seen the TV shows. Like, I thought that's how you pick the jury. But no, it's you just go in and the first 23 of you go and sit in the box. Like, it's supposed to seat, I think, 13. They had every seat, and then they had some folding chairs out. They put 23 of us up there, and everybody's in there already. The attorneys, defendant, like, everybody's there. And it's go time. And they're like, okay, we're going to pick our jury right now. Okay. And then so you go through this entire process where they want to, like, strike 10 jurors. They go through and they review some of your qualifications based on what the specific case was. And so there were some people. And I want to set a ground rule for what we're going to talk about here, because there is some very entertaining stuff that's going to come up from this. But the subject matter of the case that I sat on, I know you guys were speculating what it would be. I do not wish to share what that was. It's a very sensitive subject matter that I don't think people are here to tune in for. So I would like to not share what the detail of the case specifically was.
Can you tell us what it wasn't, so people at least have some idea of what we're talking about?
It was not murder. It was not drunk driving, which I guess everyone wants it to be a murder case. It was not a murder case. And it
armed
was,
robbery, which was Tausch's guess.
Yeah, it was not
I
armed
thought
robbery.
Armed robbery.
None of you were correct, and whatever you thought it was, it's worse.
Can I just say it's the most? It's probably the most disgusting stuff that you could do.
Yep. All right. Yeah, and I think we can leave it there. So they ask a series of the judge asks a series of questions about what your qualifications are. Some of it was more generic, like here's the subject matter. Does anybody have past experience directly, like personally related to this subject matter that you don't believe you'd be able to review this case fairly?
Oh, so you learn right then what the general charges
are. Yes, you don't know specifics, but he generally says this is the subject matter. Like, this is going to come up.
And you did, just so people know, you did tell us we're respecting your choice not to share what that crime was. But was there any part of you when you heard that you were like, I'm out?
I mean, we knew it was going to be disgusting. We knew it was going to be terrible.
Okay.
But again, like and the judge even acknowledged, like, everybody knows this is going to be awful. That's why the question was very specific to personal past experiences, because nobody wants to sit in for this. So the judge asks a series of questions, and then the prosecution and the defense attorney get to step up and ask questions as they work to strike jurors down from 23 down to 13, which they're like literally, we learned this later, they literally do that right there. There's no like behind doors discussion of it and debate. Like, they're just marking down, taking notes as you're answering questions, seeing your like physical reactions to questions and things, and like that's how they're deciding it.
Yeah.
So the defense attorney steps up after the prosecution's asking a series of questions about just, it's kind of a personal, like, almost lighthearted conversation in a way, where they're talking about using, technology and stuff like that that would be related to the case. So the defense attorney steps up, and he asks a couple of questions about some qualifications of a few of the people who are sitting on the jury, and then he's reviewing some notes, and he says, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it from Monday afternoon. Is this the Jesse I listen to on the radio every day with Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher?
Shut up! Shut up! Shut your mouth! That's unbelievable! Are you serious?
Yep. The defense attorney, big fan of Wilde and Tausch. Big fan. Found out later on he was listening on Friday when I first brought up after Tausch had gone out on the links at University Ridge that I was reporting for jury duty potentially on Monday. And he said he talked to his wife over the weekend and said, I hope I get Jesse Nelson from Wilde and Tausch on my jury.
Oh, my God. Can I just interrupt briefly and praise you for keeping this under your hat and delivering it the way you just did? Outstanding work. There's no way I could have kept that under wraps until now. Your delivery, impeccable.
We were told when we left the courthouse on Monday, we were not to discuss any specifics of the case until it was over, and then everything was fair game. So I shared that with you guys, and believe me, sitting on that for 3 days has been very tough. So I said, when he says, is this the Jesse I listen to with Wilde and Tausch every day? My response in the courtroom in front of everybody, the gallery, the 23 jurors, the judge, the defendant, and everyone was, yes, thanks for tuning in.
Did you make sure everybody knew the podcast links?
I was this close to saying yes, and thanks for tuning in and subscribe on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. I did not say it, but I really wanted to.
Okay.
Every fiber of my being wanted to do that, but I did not. I kept it short. He followed up with another question after that. And I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget this for Monday. Do you feel working with those guys every day prepares you for this? So, in the Dane County Courthouse, Monday, approximately 10 a.m.-ish, while you guys were talking whatever, I was answering a question in front of a judge, a jury, and everybody about working with you two, qualifying me to sit on a jury for a court case.
What are the odds? Like, how many defense attorneys are there? What are the chances?
My response was,
you know what? I think they're better than you think. I do.
Well, we're that popular?
Yes.
You think we're better than we think?
Well, we're more popular than we realize,
we're very popular.
I think.
Believe me, we're very popular. And I believe we have 12 people that may be tuning in for the first time today to hear all about this first couple of segments. Yeah. More on that in a little
bit. Atta babe, Jesse. Yeah. Atta babe.
More on that in a little bit. So how would you have answered the question on the record in front of the entire courtroom? Does working with you two prepare me for jury analysis or whatever you want to call what a juror does?
If I may. In one word, abso-blankin-lutely. Yes.
So how did you answer it?
My response was, yes, they both can have pretty strong opinions, so I often find myself moderating some of our big debates.
Really good answer. Really good. I would have put you on the jury, too. So wait, so after the, I have so many questions.
And we haven't even gotten to the trial yet. We haven't gotten to any, this was all Monday before 11 a.m. in the selection process. Yeah.
Was there, given the rapport that you suddenly had with the defense attorney, did you sense that the prosecutor was thinking, we got to get this joker off the jury because he's already got a connection with the defense attorney?
I've never shared what Becca does for a living, and I don't intend to. But based on her line of work and based on my line of work, and you know, say what you will about being a local celebrity or whatever.
Sure.
Jokes aside. Being a public figure and being acknowledged as one in the jury selection process, I continue to think there's no chance I'm sitting on this jury. I'm very clearly going to be dismissed.
Given your concerns about going out in public after you've been working in the yard, I do want to know, how did you present yourself from a fashion standpoint? Since now you're going to be thinking all the time that you're hot stuff. Mm-hmm. And everywhere you go, people are recognizing you, like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. How did you dress for this?
They did say dress comfortably. You don't need to be in like suit and tie for this prod. They want us comfortable because it's a long, you know, you're sitting and not doing much but listening. So they said be comfortable. So I went polo and dress shorts and comfortable shoes. And that was my selection all 3 days. That's what I wore at the courthouse. And I felt pretty good about it. Everyone was in kind of a similar fashion sense, I'd say. That was golf attire, I would say, would be appropriate. Yes, so kind of worst case scenario for me when he calls me out in front of the entire... Because one of the things that I was kind of hoping for if I was to do this was anonymity.
Yeah.
I don't even use... Like, Jesse Nelson is not my... real name. Everybody knows that. I think it's well documented on this show. So to be called out as the Jesse I listen to every day on Wilde and Tausch in front of the entire courtroom and the gallery of jurors was shocking. And then I thought, okay, well, I guess we got to own this now. So here we are. Yep. So we proceeded.
This is amazing.
Yep. So you got congratulations to you guys and to all of us at ESPN Wisconsin for our show and our content being acknowledged at the Dane County Courthouse on Monday afternoon. Good job,
us. Take that, Jim, Matt, and Molly, and your Madison Magazine nomination. We're well known in the courthouse.
So they did call to go behind closed doors for a brief moment to talk about something in the jury selection process. They come back. They say, okay, when we call your name, stand up. And I was one of the names that stood up. And I thought, okay, this means I'm out. And they said, congratulations.
Right.
Thank you for the 12 or the 13 of you who are standing. You are our jury for this trial. The rest of you seated may leave. And I thought, crap. Here we are. So
you didn't think, crap. I mean, I loved it. You wanted in. What are you talking about?
I didn't think I would be in, given how that selection process had gone and the line of questioning and the defense attorney being a big fan of the
Jesse,
show.
Was the Here district we attorney as pleasant with you, or would they not acknowledge you?
So,
how did that play?
I do want to. So when Jason asked, did I think that like I would. Whatever you asked about the defense attorney knowing who I was.
Yeah.
As the case went on, I actually thought there might actually be the opposite happening. I think because he was familiar with me, he thought maybe there could be some targeting here with some of the case presented, that if he could convince one juror that his defendant was not guilty, that maybe that would end up being the verdict. And so I think he, knowing, you know, listening to our show and knowing who I was, part of me thought, and he never said this, and I, you know, maybe it's an accusation to say so, I don't know. Maybe
better be careful.
Well, no, but wait a minute.
Maybe he thought it would be advantageous to have me on that jury.
Wait, not the prosecutor.
No, the defense attorney. Defense attorney that listens to the show.
That's not what I asked.
Yeah.
Right. What we asked was, do you think the prosecutor, seeing that interplay, thought exactly what you're saying, that maybe you'd be more open to the defense attorney's arguments because he's a fan of this wildly popular radio program? Because it only takes one holdout to get a hung jury.
Yep.
And not a verdict.
Apparently not, because I didn't get
struck. Right, I would have objected to your ass. I'd have gotten you out of there so quick, it's not even funny.
There we were.
Jason's been cussing a lot more lately.
I have been.
All right, Jesse, continue.
Damn it.
I'm looking at the clock. It is 9:22, and we have Brian Bulaga coming up. This went a lot longer than I thought.
Finish setting the stage, and then we'll get into more of the experience later in the show.
So we went behind closed door. Well, actually, no, we stayed in the courtroom. I'm sorry. We stayed in the courtroom first, and they said this trial is expected. It will begin at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. It's expected to be a two-day trial. Plan accordingly. Deliberation will take place on Wednesday. If you have any plans Wednesday evening, or if you need to make arrangements for your pets or your children or anyone you take care of to be provided for, make sure you do so. We don't know what time you'll be out of here on Wednesday. So at that point, it was like, okay, this is real. We are doing this. I am on the jury for a trial that is expected to be a two-day event. And I told you guys that. And I said, I can't talk about anything more. And they said, you are not to talk about this case publicly in any way, except to say the judge has said you can't talk about it publicly. And
especially you, Nelson.
There we were. And then
and then
the case began on Tuesday.
That's a tease right there. We will get back to Jesse's journey through the judicial system after Tausch tells us about Pella and after we talk to Brian Bulaga, who's scheduled to appear coming up in a little while.
Indeed. Time to upgrade your windows and or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune? Well, Pella is the best in the industry and has a product line for every budget. And right now, you get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments for up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends at the end of June. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
More Wilde and Tausch, especially if you're working as a lawyer and enjoy our program. We'll have more for you.
Lie to you. I want the defense attorney to call in today. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know if he's working, he or she. I don't know. I want them calling in.
All I'll say is if you want me to reach out, I have a direct line.
And you have somebody to defend you next time you commit a crime. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'm not going to lie. I'm under oath. There is nothing we do on this show, and we do a lot of really cool stuff, and I love my job. But there's nothing I look forward to more each week than having Brian Blog on the show. And he's on next. But I kind of don't want to talk to him. I kind of want to keep going on Jesse's story through the judicial system. But we will hold off. We will get to Brian. He's going to join us. But speaking of the judicial system, if you have been injured and you need representation, you need the best of the business. Jesse knows firsthand now how important it is to have a good lawyer, preferably one that supports the show. And one who definitely supports the show is David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices. He listens in his office. Jesse's new buddy, the defense attorney, he's a big fan listening in his office. And we're big fans of Gruber Law Offices. They've been with us from the beginning. And more importantly, if you're ever injured, and hopefully you never are, but if you are, you got to make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We need to make a call to Brian Bulaga. He joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Jim Rutledge from Jim, Matt, and Molly, a finalist for Best of Madison Radio Team for the third year in a row. Help us win it all this year and vote every day this month at madisonmagazine.com/BOM.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
We take a break from Jesse's journey through the judicial system to talk to a guy that, by any judgment, is one of the best things we do on this show, is our conversations with him. It is our friend Brian Bulaga in his vehicle.
Oh, look at you in his rig.
Oh. On Wilde and Tausch. What is that? One of those big sprinter vans like Mason Crosby drives with the 17 kids in it, or something a little smaller?
Something a little smaller. I mean, it's just a 2500 GMC. A little smaller than the sprinter van. A little smaller than that.
Okay.
Diesel truck.
You know. I don't want to ask you where you are or what you're doing, but I'm going to anyway. What do you got going on today? Because you're not usually in your vehicle for us.
Yeah, you're right. You're correct. I'm at my son's soccer training. It goes for about 45 minutes longer, so I'm just hanging out here.
We'll use up all that time for you.
Watch him do his thing. Yeah, so I'm just hanging out here because, like, you know, he's got a double today. So, like, the training's tonight, and obviously I have the homer hour later this evening, so I won't be able to go to that. So Abby will take him this evening, so I take the morning shift. So that's the way, you know, things work out in the Bulaga household when
so Blue,
there's double days.
Double days.
If you, and I know you're going to say whatever your kid his passion leads, but if you could pick and that your youngster could be a pro, like go Manchester United or play for the Green Bay Packers, you only get one. Where would you, which sport would you want him to play?
Well, I would never want him to go to Manchester United.
City.
Never would go to United. He'd go to City.
Man, sure. City, whatever, yeah.
Not whatever.
To be honest with you, yeah, to be honest, I it's a tough question because obviously my passion for football and, you know, American football, that is, and what it gave to me and to our family and how much I love the game, but I don't know, you know, his body type and the way he's built. I don't know if American football is going to be for him. I don't know if it's going to work out for him that way. And how much he enjoys soccer and you know, how he's growing in this sport. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, football. I'm going to say that for him because I think that's a game that he, you know, he's starting to love and enjoy, and he's taking a real, you know, passion to it, and he enjoys doing it. So I'm going to say that.
All right.
Because it just seems like it's grown on him, and he loves doing it. He's always got a ball at his feet. He'll get done with this and go out back and kick the ball in the backyard for another hour. And he's got another practice tonight. So, like, it's just something he loves doing. And, you know, as long as he likes doing it, we'll continue to let him do it and help him do it and support him in it.
So, Brian, right. You said something there that I've heard Tausch say, too. And we've had a lot of fun this morning talking about Jesse's experience as a juror. We're going to get back to that. But you did say, you know, that what football has given you and the life that you and Abby and the kids have and the life that Tausch and Sarah and the kids have. But, you know, Tausch is gimping around on his bad knee all the time. We worry about CTE for you guys. Is there part of you that you just feel like, and that I'm not saying that there's not injuries in soccer, and there aren't concussions in soccer, there are. But as a dad, is there a preference for you also because you know that the toll that American football takes on you, or is that not part of your equation?
Well, it's certainly a part of my equation, at least for me personally. And, right. And maybe it is for me because it's for me and maybe Tausch too. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to speak for Tausch on it, but it's position specific, right? Like I know what, you know, us guys up front go through, and I know what the grind is day to day. And I know that's different for guys through different positions, right? It's different for what a quarterback goes through and what a receiver goes through, what a DB goes, you know, it's different for everyone, but I certainly know what I went through and how I felt and what I experienced on a day to day. And, you know, genetically, I would imagine if my son did grow into his body and he did, you know, fill out, he would probably end up being somewhat of an offensive lineman body. And I know what that feels like. And I, you know, it's a rough path to go down. I'll put it that way. Listen, it's very rewarding if you're good at it. It's very rewarding. And you can benefit from it greatly, like I have and like Tausch has and a lot of guys do. It's very difficult, but it's very rewarding. But there is a price to pay. There is a price to pay later on. I experience it now, and I'm 36. I'm sure there'll be more prices to pay as I get older, but that's part of it. You look out for your kids' well-being and what they may experience down the line, and you don't want them to have the same exact thing. Maybe they can do something that won't be as painful as what you went through. Maybe. But again, you got to let them make their own choices and where they want to go with it. And, you know, and that's not saying guys can't get badly injured playing soccer. They certainly can. I mean, I've seen some nasty injuries, but I don't know if the grind is as bad as I would say football is on a day-to-day for offensive linemen. Let's say that.
And usually they're pretending to be injured, too.
A lot of the times.
Soccer.
Yeah.
All right, Blue, so you've obviously been consuming the coverage of the first two OTA practices. I'm just curious from your reading and listening and being in conversations across our shows, what is kind of top of mind for you? What have you been thinking the most about? I'm assuming, generally speaking, you start at the offensive line and then spread out from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always that was my biggest, you know, kind of topic going into this whole thing, right? I mean, I think I've talked about it with you a bunch. I've talked about it on this show a bunch, on my show a bunch, is which way are they going to go with this thing, right? Like, how is this going to work itself out through OTAs? And I get OTAs is kind of a precursor to what camp is, and it's kind of like a feel-out period, and it's kind of get your feet wet type period. But it still shows something, right? Like, it still gives us a little sign of what they're thinking going into camp. So to me, yeah, it does give me a little glimpse of what the staff is thinking and how, you know, the reps are being dealt early on in OTAs. And to me, that's, you know, what they're thinking. Now, I'm not saying that's what how it's going to be decided once they get into camp, because obviously the camp reps are how this thing's going to play out, and how sure. the eventual you know, joint practices, that's all going to be how this gets decided eventually. But I'm very intrigued with how the O-line play is going on. And obviously the left tackle battle is, to me, and you may look at it different, Jason, but like, I think the left tackle battle is, when we look at this thing as a whole, is probably the battle, right? Like, if we thought it could be a big right guard yeah. battle. I don't know if it's going to be that unless, again, Sheed takes this battle really early again, right? Unless he wins it early again, and then Morgan goes back to the right guard spot and it becomes a battle at right guard again. Like, but again, we won't know that until training camp, I don't think. So, and obviously the center position with Elton not being there, that's a whole nother can of worms that we can't really get into unless Elton doesn't show up to camp. So right. that's a whole nother thing.
So based on the reps we've seen in the two practices in 11-on-11, which, you know, isn't even full speed most of the time, and then they go full yeah. speed in the two-minute drill, it is clear that, as he should be, Rashid Walker is the incumbent, and Jordan mm-hmm. Morgan is the challenger. And so mm-hmm. when they go out there, they're starting five. When they begin an 11-on-11 period, from left to right is Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Jacob Monk in for Elton, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. Now, what I would say is the only time that someone has been subbed out for this competition has been when Jordan Morgan gets some work in Sheed's place at left tackle. The only other time yep. that there's a change is when they move Sean Ryan to center and then Jordan Morgan works at the right guard spot. So he's oh. the yep. number two at both of those spots, working to try and win one of those jobs. But those are the six guys that are getting first team reps at the two practices we've seen. Anthony yep. Belton, I have seen him play inside and outside, but it has always been with the twos. He has not gotten,
yep.
from what I've seen, unless I missed it, I have not seen him get a single rep with the number ones in Zach
Jason,
Tom's
how's
place.
He looking? Is he nimble? He's obviously a big dude, 6'6".
He's a very big dude.
Is he nimble? Yep.
I would say... unlike when I first laid eyes on Christian Watson and I said he looked wiry, or as you like to say, spindly, he's big. He's no undeniably big, but not like, I guess the way he was being advertised to us, I was thinking he was going to look more like, was it Caleb Jones that they had? That was like 6'7" and like 370. He's not like, he doesn't look out of place big. And when I watch okay. him in the drill work that, because I like to, you know me, I love a good offensive lineman. I spent a lot of time around them. I'm not built like one, as Matt LaFleur will be happy to discuss my physique publicly. But when I watch Luke Butkus put them through drills, I don't look at him and go, at Belton and go, wow, he's got great feet. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have good feet or anything like that, but like there,
are certain. You just said one thing and you said, I'm not saying that. What? You're Nelson in this. Are you saying he's got good feet or not?
So when you only have the individual drill work stuff and some partial speed 11-on-11, I don't think it's fair for me to. I'd just be faking it. Yeah, no, he's got great feet. Oh, he's like a dancing bear out there. Nothing. He has done nothing to this point where I was like, wow, he's got really good feet. Whereas, and look, I'm not here to glaze you, but like it was pretty clear right away that one of the things that you had as a rookie was really good feet. Like it,
so is Jordan
it was noticeable.
Morgan? Okay, Jordan Morgan, do you say that about his feet? Because I think he's got good feet.
Yeah, again, I would say that he I have more evidence of that, though, right? Like, I watched him in training camp with pads on. I know he had the shoulder injury eventually, but, like, I was able to see him, you know, for example, maybe get beat on the off the first step and then recover because he has good feet to be in position, right? And I just don't have anything to go on with Belton. I actually have chosen, when they're two-spotting, to go down to the other end to watch all the guys that aren't the aren't with the ones, because I'm more curious about those guys. I feel like I kind of know what the guys that are with the ones are about. I mean, Matthew Golden is there. He's new to that group. Aaron Banks is there. But overall, it's all at the other end of the field where I'm seeing guys that I don't know much about.
How does Monk look? Does Monk look like he's like on point with all his communication, with his movements? Does everything...
Yeah. He's got great feet. God, does he have great feet.
I hope he...
Well, how am I supposed to know? I can't make any observations about that. Great insight, Jason.
You're welcome. If you stood next to me with your, what would you say, 1,000 times more football knowledge than I have? Because it's not like I have zero.
I'd probably go higher than that.
Of course you would. But if you were standing there watching these practices, I got news for you, buddy. They're not super terrific great for making observations. And anybody who is kind of fudging the data a little bit. Like, these are not high-quality test cases, right?
Okay. Like, it's not the OTAs of old, is it?
No.
It's not the OTAs of old where it was full go.
Exactly. Like, there's nobody turning like Jeff Saturday to the beat guys and saying, does that look like non-contact to you guys? Like, it's non-contact. Like, they're playing patty cake.
That's classic. Yeah.
So, I will say this. Looking at Jacob Monk, And he is in no way in this guy's class yet. But the guy that he is similar to in stature, and the way I would argue he has to play because of this, is more like Scotty Wells.
Oh, boy.
Right? And Scott Wells was a fantastic center, but he wasn't like Josh Myers is like 6'5". Like, the first thing you notice when they break the huddle right now is that the dude at center is shorter than everybody else by a meaningful margin. And that's how it was back then. Look, I mean, Blue, you and Scotty are good buddies, but let's be honest, you could have posted him up all day. He would have beaten you in wrestling, but he was a squattier guy. But he was all about leverage. So until they put the pads on and we see what Jacob Monk does against Kenny Clark or Devontae Wyatt by getting low man wins, victories over them, I don't think they want him to be their starting center. And if something changes, then we'll have a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they wanted to be starting center as of right now with the way they've made Elton. They want Elton to be the starting center.
We'll find out if they want Elton to be the starting center, right? We're going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. We sure will. I
just want to tease this out because I want to ask you.
Oh, the big teaser.
What would you advise? Because you got the mandatory mini camp coming up. And there's fines that come with that. Everything else has been voluntary. So Brian Bulaga, who is a smart cat, what would you, Elton Jenkins calls you and says, Blue, I don't know what to do here, man. I got no guaranteed money left. They're asking me to move a spot to center. I want to play center, but I don't want to do it at this. I'm going to get Brian Bulaga's answer after I tell you about our favorite week in the American Family Insurance Championship back at Madison with two new exciting changes this year. Steve Stricker hosts the PGA Tour Champions event June 6th through the 8th at its new home golf course, the TPC Wisconsin. AmFam Champ also debuts a new team competition this year. Two-person teams will compete in a best ball and scramble format. They got the celebrity foursome on Saturday. I'm excited. Megan Maroney She's kind of a star. Sold out. I don't even know if there's any tickets left. I'm not sure. If it is, it's sparse. That is one of the hottest acts going that we're excited. They're going to be at Bree Stevens. I'll be there. I'm going to make a great Friday of it down at the AmFam Champ. You should, too. Head on down. Details and ticket information are at AmFamChampionship.com. And, of course, Jason and I, and we don't know if Jesse will be out there tomorrow morning for our show.
More Brian Bulaga next. It's Will D. Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga. Live from the parking lot at the local soccer pitch. Tausch, you teased it. The floor now, instead of being Jesse's, is yours.
All right. Yeah. So, Brian, I'm going to be Elton. You be Brian. So, hey, Blue Man, how are you doing? But great seeing you at the tailgate tour last year. Had a great time hanging out. And
if you were,
I'm not gonna
Elton,
lie to you, Blue.
Is this how you would start your call? You would ask him how you're doing and then not let him answer?
All right, why don't you be Elton?
Don't pout.
Come on.
If you're doing role playing, you gotta do it.
I'm doing great. Elton, how are you, man? I mean, it's great to talk to you. I see you're in a little
thanks
bit
for
of a
not being a jerk.
What's going on, man?
Brian, thanks for not being a jerk like the rest of these J-Wads. All right, can you tell me what I should do moving forward here?
I'll tell you what you should do.
Bud, I think you're in a little bit of a tough spot, but like I understand where you're coming from, but I think with this situation, I mean, you've lost already around $500,000. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Can I borrow some from you? Can you give me
500? No.
Okay.
No, I can't.
You got that big orange grove, and you're probably printing cash with those oranges and donkeys. You can't throw me $500,000?
Yeah. Okay. I don't have that NFL revenue coming in anymore, bud. I don't have that $14.8 million salary coming in anymore.
Atta babe.
Never had it either. Never had it either. So, just to be clear. I just think for your sake and to show good faith, right? To show good faith, I think you should just show up. And I don't think you should participate in this mini camp. I think you should show up. Show that you do want to be back. You want to be around the team, but I don't think you should participate. Save yourself the fines. Don't incur any fines, but be around the team. Show that you want to be back. Show that you want to be part of this team in 2025, but withhold services still. Still withhold services, but do not get fined. And that's what I think you should do.
Brian, we've had talks. They're not going well. I'm not getting the guarantees that I'm hoping for. So, yeah, I was actually thinking be good faith. I agree. I am going to come up. I'm going to do that. But then when training camp, should I take any meaningful snaps in training camp if I don't get some guarantees moving forward?
In training camp, I don't think I would take any meaningful snaps until you do either. I think you continue to do the same thing. If I were you, I would show up. I'd continue to do the same thing, just the hold in. Because, like, I don't think it's worth getting fined and having that look on you, right? Like, that's I don't like that negative outlook on the player because that's how it's going to be spun on you. You're going to have that portrayed on you, and there's no one that knows that better than Jason, right? Like, how this gets spun on the player. It always gets spun back on the player. If he's not there, he's the greedy one. He's already getting this much money. He should be happy with what he has. I would say just show up and just don't take any meaningful snaps. Protect yourself and have your agent continue to work on this thing until you guys find a happy medium. And that's where you have to go. You have to continue to push it until what? Until something happens, because it has to happen.
I guess we're done play acting. So what if we push it further? Is there the danger? And look, I bring this up uncomfortably, but I have not forgotten 2016. I have not forgotten Josh Sitton, who had been to like 3 Pro Bowls, unceremoniously being dumped. Hey, we'll just go without him, right? And I know, you know, I don't think Elton is in the, and I say this with nothing but respect for Josh, but the stories that those of us on the outside heard, he was not quiet about how unhappy he was that he did not get an extension going into that season. And that may have factored into the decision that was made to move on from him. I don't think you can say that about Elton. But if he were to push the envelope, is there, and look, let's be honest, if they were to say, fine, forget you, we'll just go with Jacob Monk and Sean Ryan and what we got, it's all good. There'd be a line around the block for him. It would be, in my opinion, a colossal mistake.
Detroit would be happier than a clam.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's replace Frank Ragnow with you. Sounds like a good idea. And you can play your former team twice a year. So, I guess my question is how far can he push it? And how far can the team push it? Like, again, I don't want to bash Jacob Monk, but I have no idea if he's any good or not. And if you're as good as you think you are, the chart, the FAFO chart, I don't think you should FA with Elton Jenkins. If you want your quarterback to stay healthy and productive and you want Josh Jacobs to run the football productively and you realigned your entire offensive line assuming that this guy was going to be your center, frankly, I don't understand why they didn't just say, look, we're going to guarantee this percentage of what exists on your contract. We're going to add a void year to spread it out a little bit. But we don't want to make a commitment beyond 2026, but we need to get your cap number down. We know we want you. I'm surprised that they didn't solve this already. And that's what makes me wonder what the end game. I don't want to have the blinders on to say, well, Elton Jenkins is so good, they have to have him on their team. They have to do something to placate him. Because maybe they won't. Like, I think that's a low percentage. But do we have to at least acknowledge that possibility, or am I being a Chicken Little here?
I mean, to me, like, regardless of the position change, right? Like, I get they're moving him to a position. Obviously, they have a lot of confidence in him to move him to a position that technically he has not played before, right? But I think really the only sample size you need is what happened in the playoff game last year, right? Like, the guy leaves the game, and the game for the offense, literally, it's gone.
What the hell?
I mean, it's gone. Like, it's gone. Like, the offensive line can't perform. They can't block. Jordan Love's under duress in about 1.5 seconds every play. And, like, that's what happened. And I get you signed a new guard, but now you're just – what you did now is now you open a void at center. And this isn't a knock on Monk because we don't know anything about Jacob Monk, right?
Correct.
He didn't go in the game when Elton left the game. So, like, we don't know anything about him based off last year. So, like, there's no – it's not a judgment on him. We just don't know anything about him. So, for the Packers, I don't know how much they can push it because you're right. If they do and they do release him – the line will be around the block for Elton because Elton is a very good player and he's not even 30 yet. So, like, yes. And guess what? Teams will pay him to play guard. They will pay him to play center. Some may even pay him to potentially play tackle. It doesn't matter. So, like, he will make a lot of money if they release him. So, like, it could work any, you know, in his favor any which way. Like, it, to me, Jason, what you said makes the absolute most sense. Just add a void year, guarantee a percentage, and like just figure this thing out and like move on with it. Like just move on with it and don't make this an issue going into camp. It's just such a, it seems so meaningless to make this a story, right? Like it just doesn't make sense to me. He's a leader on the team. Like he's one of the veteran leaders on the team. He's a guy you want on in that O-line room and on the offense. He's one of the veteran guys on the offense. If you look at a young team, a young offense, he's one of the oldest guys on the offense. Like you want him there and he's not there, which to me is an issue. So I don't see a scenario where he's not on the team. I just don't see it happening. I think they get it done. I think there's a little standoff happening right now. Obviously we don't know the specifics of the talks, but there's a little standoff right now because they know they each have time, but I don't think it's going to get pushed too far into camp. I don't see that. There's no way. There's no need for it.
It makes no sense. There's nothing about any of this. You're not saying go ahead and give him a 5-year extension.
Right.
Give him, sprinkle some guarantees, spread it out like Jason said, and just move on with your life. If you want, you can get out of it after this year. And I think Elton, if he's going to get a little sweetener compared to what he was going to get, the fact that he has no guarantees left, this is the time when you're making a switch and your team is banking on you making that switch, time to make a move. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Yep.
All right, Blue, one last thing before we let you go, before practice ends. I wrote about Romeo Doubs. We talked to him earlier in the week. He did not want to talk about his concussions and whether doctors had expressed any long-term concerns. He was obviously reluctant to revisit his going AWOL leading into the fifth game of the season last year. He said I'm just here to be a ball player. If you were, and I won't do any play acting here, but if you're the Packers and you're trying to figure out what this guy's future is, are you open to the idea that if he has a big season that you want to pay him a second contract? Or are you just saying, I'm going to get everything I can out of him? I just drafted Golden. I just drafted Savion Williams. Great. He's going to put his head down and work, and somebody else is going to pay him, and we're going to get a compensatory pick for him.
Yeah, I think, like, listen, and this is me obviously wanting the best for Doubs, right? Like, and this is from a health standpoint, this is from a financial standpoint, and a career standpoint. But I'm just answering the question, and I think I don't see a scenario where they do extend them based off their moves in the draft, right? Like, if they would have done something different in the draft, right? Like, if they wouldn't have taken a receiver in 1 and 3, okay, maybe they do extend him if he plays really well, right? Like, maybe they do. But they did take a receiver in 1 and 3. So, like, I don't see that happening, right? Because they're obviously going to extend one of these guys, right? Like, I mean, I know they got a couple coming up in this year and then next year. So someone, you know, out of these guys, someone's going to get extended. I just don't know if it's going to be him based on what happened last year and the concussions. I hope he does play really well so he does get paid and he does – have a successful career and he gets everything he wants out of football. But knowing how Green Bay does risk reward and how they do things, I'm just not sure they're going to do it. Like, I just don't see them going down that road. Right. And I'm sure Matt and everyone's going to be super positive about how he is and what he's doing. And they want him to just put his head down and work. But I just don't know if, once someone does something like that they're going to reward him financially. Like, I just don't, you know what I mean? Like, I just haven't seen that ever happen in Green Bay. Well, first of all, I've never seen it happen in Green Bay in my time there. In 10 years, I never saw someone not you know, show up. So, like, I can't say that was something I've ever seen. But I've never seen even if a guy was repeatedly laid or was just missing or, like, you know, that they got rewarded financially, right? Like, it just wasn't something that Green Bay does. They're an organization that is pretty by the book with these things, right? Unless you're like the quarterback, or even the quarterbacks aren't ever late. They're normally the first ones in the building. But unless you're some freak show, right? Like, I mean, you are an absolute freak show that is producing at a level that no one can speak of. They're probably not rewarding you financially. And that's probably what's going to happen here. So I hope he plays as well as possible, obviously, for Green Bay's sake and for his sake. But I think their moves this year in the draft kind of is writing on the wall. And that's the way it is. And everyone everyone should know throughout their time, you know, in as they're playing, should see what happens in rooms as they're playing, right? Like, everyone has to see the writing on the wall as their players, right? Like, okay, I'm going into my final year. What just happened? Oh, they drafted a guy in the first and third round. What does that normally mean? Okay, that normally means no matter how I play, they're probably moving on. So I better play really well so that I can go somewhere else. Like, that's, right. I mean, it's very simple the way you have to look at it. But, that's simple answer for me.
He's going to make a good Charger next year. Brian, I hope Declan's practice was a success. I will talk to you later today on the Homer Hour. Drive home safely.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That is Brian Bulaga from soccer practice. Tausch, I know I'll see you in person tomorrow, and I'm guessing afterward when you're hanging out with everybody at the AmFam Championship, there'll be a Coors Light or two that'll be had.
I would certainly hope so, and whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or at a golf tournament, you just need a moment to chill. Crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I am chilling. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.